Your Bibles, please, to Titus chapter 2 for our first reading. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient unto their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So, Titus chapter 2, and notice that the apostle begins, having spoken to Titus about the ordination of elders and the qualifications or the qualities that he ought to look for in such man or such men. And we saw last hour that they were both doctrinal qualities and life qualities, uprightness and so on. And that really the emphasis is placed more on the living than on the doctrine, although the doctrine is also a qualification. But there are so many things spoken about uprightness and then really one or two lines on their doctrinal education. That's not to minimize the doctrinal portion, but it's to bring up the other side to where it belongs, that holy living part. Okay, so now having done that then, and then also having spoken about other false teachers who have to be silenced. Now, Paul tells Titus how to deal with various kinds of people in the church. Various kinds of people. And notice he uses the a fourfold division of folks. Old men, old women, young men, young women. Okay, and that's how he divvies up his counsel to Titus. And there are several things spoken to each of those, or to Titus, concerning each of those groups. The first thing is, though, that the chapter opens with that Titus is to speak the things which become sound doctrine. By become there, we don't mean you start talking and it turns itself into sound doctrine. Not that kind of become. The word become here means that which adorns, that which is commensurate with, that which gives credence to, and so on. And so notice that Titus's words are to be adorned such that his sound doctrine will be more becoming. That's the point that's being made here. Okay, so for those who aspire to ministry, let's remember that. That while in the history of our beloved fathers, we may be able to find one or two that were more or less ribald in their discussions, more or less coarse in their discussions, that really what our speech is supposed to do is it's supposed to accompany sound doctrine in such a way that it will cause admiration to come to sound doctrine. Okay? All right. So now, the part of those admonitions, or part of that speech, is going to be how Titus speaks to the older men, the older women. Notice what I did there, ladies. Okay. The old men, the older women, the young men, the younger women. Okay? All right. So, with regard to the old men, notice that Titus, and we're not told how old Titus was. Titus might have been a gray-haired man himself. I don't know. But he's speaking to some that would be considered older than he was. And so notice that he is to honor them as fathers in his speech. That, you know, let me put it this way. Just because you're the pastor doesn't mean you get to dress down an old man. Doesn't happen like that. Okay? But counsel them that they be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. So there are several things said that Titus needs to use in his speech toward them. It is possible, as we've said here before, to become an old fool, male or female. Right? Well, notice that the things that Titus is counseled to tell them are to guard against that. That they are to be grave, serious-minded, that is. Temperate, self-controlled, sound in faith, so instructed and believing. And then in charity, that is in the generosity that they show, not just with their money, but with their with themselves also. And then they should be also in patience sound as well. All right, so now the older women, and they are to have a particular kind of behavior. Notice that Paul uses a chiasm here. I think it's an interesting thing that he uses a chiasm because he's drawing together these things as a literary unit. And so notice in behavior as becometh holiness, and in the original there are four accusative plurals. For those of you that want to study, you know, over in this corner, over in this back corner over here, you guys, there are four accusative plurals that are given in a row there. The first one is positive, the second two are negative, and the fourth one is positive. So it's an A, B, B, A structure, all under this same case and ending, okay, case and number. And so Paul is drawing up a literary unit here pertaining to what these older women are supposed to be about. They're supposed to be about, number one, holiness, okay? Their behavior is that has becometh holiness. They are not to be false accusers, not given to much wine, and then, positively, teachers of good things. Okay, so all of those things pertain back to the older woman's behavior. They're all drawn together in that literary unit like that. And I know that there are some that want to take this passage and turn it into women teachers in the church. Well, you have to balance that with the rest of Scripture. It doesn't work when you do that. Again, ladies, we love you, but the Lord doesn't want you teaching in the church, and so neither do we, not as a slight, but as obedience to the Lord. That's how that works. Okay, so they are to be in this behavior. Now, the first word there that is translated in your Bibles, holiness, I have a footnote that says holy women here. It is an interesting word in that it reminds us, because it has the word priest in it. It has the word priest in it. And so we are reminded of the Old Testament and the women that married priests. They were supposed to be women of good reputation so that they adorned their husband's job as a priest, right? Remember that there were several special limitations on the priesthood as to what kind of women they could marry. and that was all to speak about a moral character and so on. And that's, Paul uses a word that is similar to that here. And he is reminding us then that these older women are to be holy in their behavior. They are to be like those women of old who would marry a priest. They're to consider themselves to be, you know, a cut above, separate, holy in that sense. And then he gives those not false accusers, not given to much wine, and then teachers of good things. And that word teachers of good things, Paul actually coins a word, makes a compound word up there. We're going to see how these older women teach in the next section, because now it says, verse 4, in order that they might train the young women or teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it interesting that the Apostle Paul is told to speak directly to the old men, and then he's told to speak directly to the older women, and then notice how the young women receive their training. Primarily, it's going to be through the lifestyle of the older women, that they are to learn by watching the examples and the lives of the older ladies of the church, and, of course, private, sitting down and just, you know, talking through the issues of life with them, that they're to learn how to love their husbands, love their children, discreet, chaste, keepers at home, or those who are domestically oriented, home workers, literally, good, and then obedient to their own husbands. And notice that the word of God be not blasphemed. And I will tell you that the word of God is blasphemed often in our culture because our families are in disarray. Okay? That's not a good thing. It's not a good thing for Christian families to be in disarray. If Christian families are in disarray, then the word of God is blasphemed, according to the Apostle Paul here. Then young men likewise, exhort them to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Okay, so very clearly then, Titus is to set forth this pattern, this example, to all different kinds of people in the church, that everyone can have their place within the body of Christ, doing what they're supposed to be doing with regard to all of one another's, as Scripture puts it, that Titus is to instruct everyone and equip them for those duties. Okay? All right, so now we turn to servants in verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining. The word purloining means thievery, right? Kleptos, kleptomania. It's where we get the Greek word that's used here. Not purloining, not stealing, in other words, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Notice that Titus' speech was to adorn his preaching and doctrine. Notice that the labor of the servant here is to adorn his profession of faith as well. It's to adorn it. Okay? Well, we don't have slaves per se in our society today, but we do make application as to those who are hirelings, right? Day laborers or laborers. Not owners, but working in someone else's vineyard, field, business, whatever that is. And so we want to make those applications that our labor ought to adorn our profession of the gospel of Christ. Not purloining, right? Not stealing. What is one of the classic ways of stealing? Well, by wasting time that you're being paid to use rightly. That's one of the ways we steal, but there are lots of others. So let's be careful there that servants are exhorted not to purloin, but to show all good fidelity. That is, they are to protect the interest of that business owner, of that householder, and so on. Protect the interest. Know how to conduct themselves in proper submission to authority. Okay? All right, so then we come to the end of those personal admonitions, and now we have some teaching here in verse 11 through the end. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, notice all men there, and notice what Paul means by all men. He means young men, old men, young women, older women, servants, all men. That's what he means by all men here. The grace of God hath appeared to all men, all different kinds, as he's already talked about, all different kinds, including preachers, right? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. May I say that according to some teachers today, Paul's got it all wrong. The emphasis is all wrong here, Paul. You should be talking about the gospel. You should be telling people, as we've heard people told, to swim in the gospel. And that's the answer to all their problems. Well, the gospel is a wonderful thing. We don't want to minimize gospel teaching. But notice what Paul said here, that the grace of God has appeared, and a part and parcel of that grace of God coming is to teach us to live holy lives as well. Let's not forget that part of the equation. Let's not so emphasize the gospel that we de-emphasize holiness. And if there is an error that needs to be addressed in our day, that would be one of them. There are other churches, I suppose, that are emphasizing holiness to the extremity of self-righteousness or Pharisaism, although it would be hard to find churches like that today. I think mostly what we find is we're all swimming in the gospel and drowning for lack of holiness. Right? Okay. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ is the great God and our Savior. That's what that verse means. For those of you that are wondering what Greek rule that is, that's going to be the Granville Sharp rule. And although it is not a universal rule, there are sometimes, you know, where there are exceptions. This is not one of them. And then notice who gave himself for us. There's the gospel. That he might redeem us from all iniquity. There's the gospel. That he might purify himself, a peculiar people. That's the gospel too. Zealous of good works. That's the gospel too. Right? Because you're saved not just in that you're forgiven of your sins. You're also saved in your mind from the power of sin. Right? You're delivered unto love of righteousness and so on. All right. So these things, Paul says, speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Yes, there is church authority, as we saw last chapter. Let no man despise thee. All right, well, this ends the reading. Titus chapter 2. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.